You know, I heard somebody say a little while ago, they said, "You go to this church?" Well, yeah. How long have you been going? About 10 years. I didn't even know that. So I feel like maybe we just need to introduce ourselves to one another. Not really, but I want you to know that we are one church. We just meet at two different times. So I just want to say welcome, and I want to welcome everybody who is worshiping with us online. I know there are people literally all over the world who are waiting to see what God is about to do, and I hope you are too, because I can't wait to tell you. So, you know, today we are in a series called Come and See. And in this series, Jesus has invited us to follow him, right? To come and see, to be a part of what he's doing. And today, we are going to be studying the story of Lazarus. And I want you to know that it's not by surprise that we're studying the story of Lazarus. It's all by design, not mine. I'm not that smart, but it's all his. Now, I want you to know that I realize today that we have the entire families with us, so that means the kids are with us. And I want you to know that because of that, two things. Number one, my sermon isn't going to be nearly as long. Don't you dare clap. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the second reason is because at the end of the message, I'm going to invite them to come up, and I want to do something with them, okay? So one day, there was a man, a young man, and he was strolling through a cemetery in England. While he was walking by the different headstones, he was reading them, and there was one kind of off in the distance that caught his eye, and what caught his eye was is that there was just a whole lot that was written on it. So he went over to it, and as he got closer to it, he read what he had said on there out loud. And this is what it said. It said, "Pause, stranger, as you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare for death and follow me." Well, this was no dummy. And he thought for a while, and he pulled out a pencil, and he inscribed underneath it, "Until I know which way you went," excuse me, I missed it up. "To follow you, I'll not consent until I know which way you went." There it is. Oh, man, I ruined it. Now, the funny thing about that is that we laugh at that, and I know my family's going to tell me, "Dad, you just can't tell a joke anymore." But I want you to know that even though we laugh at that, it's true, isn't it? Because depending on who we choose to follow here on earth, that's what determines where we spend eternity. Jesus has invited us. In fact, he's invited all mankind to follow him. But today Jesus says, "Come and see." And I want you to come, because if you don't come and follow, you won't be able to see. And what Jesus has for us today is going to blow our socks off. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from John chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 34 through 44. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days. The King James Version says, "He stinketh." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" I want to say that one more time. "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, may we be obedient to that which you have given us to do. And in faith, open our eyes so that we can see. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I just want to say to you is that if your kids are a little bit rambunctious and they tend to be crying or whatever, who cares? It's music. It's music to our ears, right? Now, as we have been talking about in the last several weeks, we've talked about the fact that way back in the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, there was a very important event that happened. Jesus was baptized, just like we have baptized 11 of them this morning. Wasn't that awesome? Another way to celebrate, following Jesus in the obedience of baptism. But at this particular place, at this particular time, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, sees Jesus. And the Bible tells us in verse 29 that when Jesus walked by, John the Baptist said, "Look, there he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And that, my friends, is what the Father wants us to understand. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, right? The second day, as Jesus was walking, following John the Baptist, Jesus came again, and now John goes, "Look, there he is." And immediately, two of the disciples, Andrew and John, the writer of the Gospel of John, turned around and they followed Jesus. What did Jesus do? Do you remember what he said? He stopped and he turned around and he goes, "What do you want?" And basically, these two disciples just said, "Lord, we want to see where you're hanging, where you're living. We just want to hang out with you." And remember what Jesus said? He said, "Come and see. Come and see. Come and experience. Come and investigate. But come and see." We are now less than 2 months to Jesus' crucifixion. So there's a couple of things that you need to understand about what takes place at this miracle. Number one is this. This is the miracle that gets Jesus killed. This is the miracle that put the Sanhedrin over the top. This is the miracle that the leaders of the church decided that we can't deal with this anymore. This man is growing too popular, and if we're not careful, people are going to believe in him. He's got to go. And during that time, Almighty God used his very enemy, the high priest, to prophesy. And you remember what Caiaphas said? He said, "It's better that one man should die rather than all the people." Oh, so true, holy man of God. But there's something else that happened. And what happened here is that Jesus' public ministry now comes to an end. So that means now that Jesus is no longer spending a whole lot of time with the people. He's not doing a whole lot of healing. He's not doing many miracles. He's just got two things that he's thinking about. Number one is his disciples, because they're the ones who are going to begin the church. And the second thing is that he's focused on the cross, because that's why he came. Now, I want to remind you of something that's very important for us as followers of Jesus. We need to understand why Jesus tells us to come and see. Why he wants us to see with our own eyes, why he wants us to investigate Jesus' life and how he is doing ministry. And the answer is this: as we follow Jesus, we experience him. And my dear friends in Christ, that's the goal. Jesus wants you and I to experience him. You know why? Because when you experience Jesus, you now realize you have access to the supernatural. Can you imagine that? Because we follow Jesus, there is never an end. There is never a hopeless situation, because I have access now through my Lord and Savior, the Son of God, to the supernatural. However, we have a problem with that. You know why? Because in our own humanness, we're used to seeing things through our natural eyes. We always want to see, we want to experience, we feel like we have to attain. And one of the things that this does is it blocks the work of God. Did you hear that? It blocks the work of God. You see, Jesus wants us to know he's still in the miracle business. And so whatever situation you're in, maybe your marriage is just, you don't know where it's going. Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's, I don't know what the issue is, but whatever place you are in, because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have hope. Now let me ask you a question. Has Jesus ever disappointed you? Wow, he has me. No, I'm just being honest with you. Are there times when I think Jesus disappointed me or he didn't show up? Yep. There are. I'm just being honest with you. And you know what? That's exactly what we find in our story today with Mary and Martha. They feel like Jesus kind of forgot about them. And they feel a little bit left out. Been there, done that. Look at what the scriptures say. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If that's not disappointment, I don't know what is. Martha's just saying, you know what, Jesus? We sent you a message 2 days ago, 4 days ago, excuse me. Where you been? You see, we know from the story that when Jesus arrived, Lazarus was already dead, right? And it appears to the naked eye, to the natural eye, that Jesus is too late. Have you been there before? If you've lived life, I'm sure you have been. But here's what I want you to know and what I've learned through going through situations like that. That because I follow Jesus, I've learned through experience that there is never a time with Jesus when there is no hope. You see, I know that I can trust and I can have faith that no matter how bad the situation may seem, I know that there is nothing that is impossible for Jesus. And the stories are full of it, aren't they? And I'll bet if we were to sit here and we were to talk about some things in our lives, you know what? We would all have stories about how we thought we were down and out. We thought that things had come to the end and there was no hope. And then Jesus shows up and everything changes. Sometimes God allows us to go through things like that so that he can remind us, keep your eyes on me. And here's why it's important that we keep our eyes on him. Jesus is never late. He's always right on time. You know why we can say that? Because he operates on a whole different time schedule, right? And the time schedule that he operates is on his Father's. And we know that God's plans are perfect. And God's plans, know how we see them, always have our best in store, right? So I want you to see this. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they said. Now here's what I want you to understand about what the Bible is telling us. The Bible is sharing with us is that when we walk with Jesus, we walk with Jesus in his world. And when we walk with Jesus in his world, that means that we can say to him now, come and see, right? That's what Jesus told the disciples. That's what he tells us in his word. He says, come and see. But now, as we're walking with him, we can say to him, Jesus, you come and see. And what happens? Now Jesus invades our world. And what does he do? He brings hope. Because wherever Jesus is, there is always hope, right? So here's what we learn from this. The more I commune with Jesus, the more I am immune to worry. In this whole last year and a half, we have been walking through this campaign. And you know what? I can honestly say that as we began this from the very beginning, I have never been worried about what it is that we're supposed to do. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are being obedient to Almighty God. And because I know that we are being obedient to Mighty God, because we have bathed this in prayer, I can tell you I have had a very expectant heart to what God is about to do. And that's what God wants us, the way he wants us to live our lives. He doesn't want us to worry. He says, don't be anxious about anything. But how do we solve that? In prayer and petition. That's how we solve that. And what's the result? Peace of God, right? I have peace today. Do you? Although I know the number, you don't. No. But that's what God wants to do, is he wants to give us peace. All right, now, watch this. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? I want you to understand what happens. When we invite Jesus to come and see, when we invite Jesus to come into our situation, the very first thing he does is he asks us, take another step of faith. Are you kidding me? That's what he does. And that's exactly what he did here with all of the people. He asked them, before I do anything, I need you to take another step of faith. What was the step of faith? Remove the stone. Now, how did they greet Jesus with these news? Well, Martha wasn't too thrilled. She disputes Jesus. She argues with him. And you know what she uses to argue with him? Logic and facts. Here's what she says to him. Jesus, he's been dead 4 days. Remember what the Jews believed about death? That the spirit would hover around for 3 days, and then on the fourth day, it was gone. There was no possibility of resurrection. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Figure it out, Jesus. And then her logic is he stinks. Because that's what happens when a person dies. Did you notice how Jesus responded to her? She says, with logic and facts, that it's been 4 days and that he stinks. And what Jesus wants to remind her of is that your logic and your facts is exactly what keeps the miracles from coming. And what does Jesus say to her? He kind of reprimands her a little bit, doesn't he? What does he say? He says, did I not tell you? Have you ever said that to your kids? They come and ask you 5 times for a drink of water. They're supposed to be in bed. They're supposed to be sleeping. Don't you go in there and say, okay, did I not tell you this is it? And that's what Jesus says. He says, did I not tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, my friends, here's the question. What does he mean when he says the glory of God? And here's the answer. It's God on display. That's it. And isn't that what we're praying for today? We're praying that we're going to see the glory of God. We're praying that we're going to see God on display. Now watch. I want you to know that Jesus is telling us in this story that believing is seeing. Not seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. So what does that mean? It simply means this. When Jesus asks us to take another step of faith, we take that step living in what we know about him is that he is true to his promises. Now watch. So they took away the stone. They stepped out in faith. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So here's what I wanted you to understand about this. Here's what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying, my dear friends, when you take that last step of faith, when you are obedient in that last step of faith, I will take the next step. And here's the next step. Lazarus, come forth. Right? Now, how many of you have been to Lazarus's tomb? Okay, I've been there, and I want to tell you, it's nothing like what I thought it was. It's not a cave up on the hill where Jesus is standing and he calls out to him. No, you have to go down a flight of stairs to get into the tomb. I had to get on my hands and knees and crawl into the tomb where he was laid because it's so small. And I remember Pastor Aaron and my wife Lori and I were standing in there, and I'm thinking, this is kind of creepy. So I had to get back on my knees and crawl out again and then go up on the stairs. So here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is standing at the top of the stairs, and what he says is, Lazarus, come forth. But I want you to understand the truth of what he meant. Because when you take that word and you translate it in the Greek, what it means is, Lazarus, this way out. Is that not amazing? It wasn't just Lazarus, come out of the grave. It was Lazarus, this way out. Jesus is giving Lazarus a direction. It's a directional command. And what does Jesus say? On the other side of death, Jesus says to Lazarus, I'm the direction. I'm the way. Follow my voice. Because I'm that which will lead you from death to life. And then he went and did it with his own life. My dear friends in Christ, a while back, you demonstrated all of these steps. We asked you to pray about a commitment. We asked you to go through a devotional booklet, to be on your knees with your spouse, with your family, and pray about what it is that God wanted you to do. And when you wrote that down on the commitment card, you exemplified faith. But Jesus wasn't done with you. He said, now I want you to come forward. And as you came forward, guess what? Now Jesus says, now that you've been obedient, now that you've been faithful, now I'm going to do my way. I'm going to do my work. I'm going to do what I promised you I would do. I am so thankful for this story of Lazarus, and I am so thankful for each of you. And for those of you who are worshiping with us, there are so many people that have been involved in this. And then even after we came up with this final number, we got two more donations in. But what I just simply want you to know is this. My prayer is that by what you are about to witness today, that you can say, God is faithful.